We've been talking about bearing fruit. I would like to get up here and act like I know everything, but I don't. I know I felt the gasp of breath when I said that. I know you can't believe that, but I don't. And since I started this, I've had a question in my heart, and I can go to generalities and say, well, you know, I know it, you know, I know it means this, but I want application. You know, I don't like just to have an idea of what something means. I like application. And ever since I began to look at this, God began to deal with me about it, I've been saying, God, what does it look like? What does bearing fruit look like? And so I've been asking that question continually. I think we're getting closer. But what I keep coming back to is there are certain things that are consistent in Christianity when it comes to bearing fruit. We're going to talk about some of those today. But there's also this variable for each person that you're the only one that can produce the fruit that God wants to produce fruit through you. Nobody else can do it. Because when God grafts you into the body of Christ, He doesn't strip you of everything you have. He takes what He's given you and He adds it to the kingdom of God. And that's what makes the kingdom of God full and creative and interesting. You know, this cookie-cutter mentality, we can't get that, you know, because that just takes all the life out of the body of Christ. Amen. And so there are things, there is fruit that God wants to bear through you that He can't bear through any of the rest of us. You got gifts and you've got characteristics that nobody else has. You're the only one that has those. Amen. Praise God. Everybody look at the person next to you and say, you know, you're a little different. Because you're the only one that can do it. We all have gifts. We all have talents. I got Sister Betty to go up on Monarch Pass. I've always wanted to go up in that gondola thing. You know, the little bubbles that you ride in and all the way to the top of the mountain to 12,000 feet. I've always wanted to do that. But two things has always stopped us. Number one, trying to get me in a little bubble like that with a bunch of people, it is like trying to stuff a cat in a bag. I really don't like it. And number two, Sister Betty is really afraid of heights. I mean, really afraid of heights. I don't have any problem with heights, as long as I got room. You know, if I got room, then I'm all right. Just leave me alone. I can stand on 2 inches way up in the air, as long as there ain't nobody else up there on that 2 inches, okay? But this year, we finally did it. And I looked at Sister Betty and I said, if I can overcome claustrophobia, getting in that little bubble, you can overcome your fear of heights, and we're going to do this. And we got in that thing and went to the top. She cried all the way to the top. Oh, your eyes were just sweating going up there? Okay. So she looked straight ahead, and I did breathing. It's not much further. It's okay. Oh, praise God. But sometimes you got to challenge things like that because there's differences. We are different. We are different. It wouldn't bother me to throw something over that cable and ride the thing, you know, ride it all the way to the top. You know, I don't have to have a little. I would much rather do that than get inside of a little bubble. You understand what I'm talking about? Everybody's different. Everybody has strengths. Everybody has weaknesses. And bearing fruit doesn't remove all that. We still have to deal with a lot of that. Okay, I want to talk just a little bit this morning about some of the things that we need to understand. We talked last week about you can't do this by yourself. Jesus said, unless you abide in me, you can't do anything. You're done. You won't produce any fruit except for in me. Okay? So without him, without abiding in him, without abiding in the vine, we can't do anything. It's done. We can't produce fruit. We can produce man-sized stuff, but we can't produce God-sized stuff. Okay? And I don't know about you, but I like doing God-sized stuff. Because when it's done, everybody knows we didn't do it. God did that. Come on. Amen. God did it. And besides that, starting into it, we know that it's way bigger than us. It's way bigger. We can't do this. But then he said in verse 7, John chapter 15 and verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In the Amplified it says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. When you bear or produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. So the proof of being a follower is the fruit that we bear. Now, in 1 John, I believe it is, it says that they will know that we are his disciples because we have love one for another. There are evidences of Christianity. It's not just something that you claim as, you know, my family was Christian, so I'll be a Christian. No, there's evidences of Christianity, because Christianity is not just a religious belief. Christianity is a spiritual abiding. Amen. There's somebody else there besides you. It's a spiritual abiding. Now, Jesus said, you can't do anything without me. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he made a very powerful statement. You can ask whatever you want and it'll be given you. It sounds like a fantasy, doesn't it? That sounds like winning the lottery. You know, several hundred million to one or something. That's the way we look at it. How, you know, we read this, but it's hard for us to comprehend it. That we ask what... He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. What is the word of God? It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. David said, I will keep the word of God in me so that I might not sin against God. In other words, the word of God guides us and directs us. So Jesus is saying, if you abide in me, if you continually live in me, if you continually abide in me, and my words, my instruction, my direction, my guidance abides in you, then you can ask what you will, and it'll be given to you. Why? So that we can bear much fruit. God's not stingy. I will say that again. There's only two of us believe that. God is not stingy. For how many years have we believed that God takes away from us to prove us instead of giving to us to excel us? I mean, even the teaching that God puts sickness on us to teach us something is a perverted belief that God somehow hurts us in order to train us. When actually God just wants to talk to you. He just simply wants you to listen. A lot of the stuff we go through is because we wouldn't listen until we get in the middle of it, and then we listened, and then we say, well, God took me here so I would learn. No, God was talking way back there. You just didn't choose to listen until it got beyond you. That's good preaching right there. That's good. Come on, Holy Ghost. Amen. So We blame God for a lot of stuff, but God is not him. He said he would withhold no good thing from us. God's not stingy, but God's also not silly. He knows what your intentions are. The book of James tells us that if we lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father who gives liberally and upbraids not, or he doesn't scold you because you don't have wisdom. Because you're saying, God, I need wisdom. Well, you ought to have wisdom. No, that's not what he does. He gives you wisdom liberally. And he said, don't ask wavering. Don't be wavering. Ask in faith, not doubting. And ask firmly. Be assured of what you're asking. Be committed to what you're asking. Amen. When we ask God for things, Jesus said right here that if we ask him, whatever we ask him, it'll be given to us. For what purpose? To bear much fruit. We're not going out and asking for a $1 million home unless you intend to fill it with fruit. In James, it says, you ask because you want to consume it on your own lust. But the Word of God gives us direction. I've just got to say this. God wants to just dump his provision on you if you can just get it focused. Amen. If we can just get it focused. But if our first thought... I ask people this a lot of times in counseling. I'll ask them, if you was to get $1,000 right now, what's the first thought in your mind that you would do with that? Immediately, a lot of times, what we want is what comes to our mind. But if we have a right mindset, what we can put that to work for would come to our mind. Amen. So God says that whatever you ask, you know, God doesn't want to withhold his Spirit from you. Not in any way, shape, or form does God want to withhold his presence or his Spirit from us. It's just that our soul, many times, is not cooperative with the abiding presence of Holy Spirit. It's not God withholding from us, it's us resisting. Amen. The works of the flesh, you know, when you talk about the works of the flesh, it says that anyone that does these will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's not just going to heaven later, that is not inheriting the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is near you. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. And what he's saying is these things resist the kingdom and keeps the kingdom of God from being able to abide in you and work in you and produce fruit through you. And so we won't inherit the kingdom of God if we do these things. But then in the fruits of the Spirit, at the end of that, he said, there's no law against these. In other words, there's nothing about these that resists the kingdom of God. In other words, these invite the kingdom of God because it's the presence of God. It's his character. It's the very thing that God is. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how many read that and think, oh, you know, I've got to try to be like that? The love chapter. You know where I'm going. No, you can't be like that. Because the love that is talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is impossible for me and you. It is only produced by an indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, and is produced by Him, because that's not what He's trying to be, that's what He is. How many know you don't have to try to be what you are? Amen. I'm bossy. I don't have to try to be bossy. I am bossy. Matter of fact, I joke with Sister Betty sometimes. I'll say, honey, I am not bossy. I am the boss. Yeah. Because she's always telling me how bossy I am. And stubborn and hard-headed. These are my qualities. You got to understand your qualities. These are my qualities. Okay? God gave them to me. Amen. They're gifts from God. Because when God tells you to do something and you set a course, you can't be diverted from that. So God gave me this. Amen. So you can try to knock me off the trail all you want to, but you ain't going to knock me off the trail. When I'm on the hunt for what God wants, I'm going to hunt that thing. You know what I'm talking about? So God gives us different characteristics, and I said all that just to try to justify the fact that I am stubborn. But when we bear fruit, when we're praying about things, when we're praying about the things of God, and we're saying, God, what is it you want me to do? You've got to understand His will for your life. And when you understand His will for your life, you can ask what you will, and it will be done for you. It'll be given to you. This is not a frivolous verse of prosperity. This is a productive verse of kingdom building. And if we're about building the kingdom, then we can ask whatever we want, and it will be done for us. Praise God. I know that to be absolutely true. Praise God. It is absolutely true. And so when we understand what God's will is, I want to finish the thought. Hold that. I want to finish the thought about the fact that God's not stingy. If I don't get to the rest of this today, I want to get this across, that God is not stingy. God's not the problem. You remember me talking about the vision God gave me one time when I was acting like I was praying, but I was just complaining? Have y'all ever done that? Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. I know you have. When I really get intense, I have to walk. I have to move. Yeah, I can't just be still. I have to move. And so I was just really irritated one day about the lack of being able to get things done. And every direction I turned, it was a closed door. There was nothing. The provision was not there. It was just like And so I got out of my office. And I was walking down this road, and people probably think that I'm crazy. As I walk down the road, I'll be talking. You know, I mean, I talk to God. And I was walking down that road, and I was talking. I was explaining to God that He called me and asked me to do these things, and it's not happening. You know, I was being much more religious than that, but that's what I was telling Him. And I can take you to the spot on a curve up here. You know, you go up to the road, you go around that sharp curve like that. Well, just almost around that curve, God spoke. I believe there's still marks there in the pavement. Because He spoke, and it's just like something body slammed me right there on the ground. And I stopped dead in my tracks just like that, because all of a sudden, Holy Spirit said, "So you think I'm the problem?" It's a little awkward when God says to you, "So you think I'm the problem?" And I just stopped in my tracks just like that, and I broke out in a sweat. I mean, it was an intense moment. I never wanted to lie so bad in my life. But God knows your heart. I wanted to say, well, no. I don't think it's your problem, your fault. But I knew he knew my heart. And I said, obviously, because I've just spent the last hour telling you that it was your fault. And that's when God gave me that vision. Remember me talking about the vision? That open hand. I saw an open hand. It was just like it was right in front of my eyes, right out in front of me. I saw this open hand. He said, if you can open your hand and keep it open, I will pour the wealth of the world through your hands to finance my kingdom. But he said, every time I bless my people, and I saw that hand do just like that. He said, every time I bless my people, they grab hold of the blessing and take possession of it. But he said, if you can open your hand and keep it open, I will pour through it everything that I have. Since that day, I've been saying, God, get me to the place where you can trust me with an open hand. And I got to tell you something. It's not easy getting there. Because he'll test you. He'll wait until you got a lot of need in your life. And then all of a sudden, he'll bless you with a bunch of money and say, I want you to use it for this. When I have a lot of need over here, it's very pressing, but I need to, but he wants me to use it over here. And that's happened several times. God is not stingy. But he does not want to lose you by blessing you. Anybody listening to me? You need to get this in your heart. God wants to bless you, but he does not want to lose you to the blessing. Many of us serve God better in hard times than in good times. Because in good times, we don't have need for God. Oh, I got to get back up here. It's getting quiet. Got him. When we understand the will of God, and we understand that God wants to provide, God wants to bless, God wants to pour out his presence. How many understand that popularity and blessing are two different things? There can be something that's popular, and that doesn't mean it's blessed. Blessing is where God takes you and does things through you that you can't produce. Amen. Amen. Praise God. This is good. It really is. I want to read a verse in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. This is a prayer that Paul prayed. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. How many's in the family of God? Amen. We got his DNA. We're born again. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. How many understand God's not broke? He has no lack. He's not poor. He's not in poverty. Paul used the word riches all through his teachings, all through his letters. He constantly talked about the riches of God. The riches. The riches of his glory. He'll meet your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And so he's constantly talking about the riches. And he said, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now, if he's strengthening you with might in your spirit in the inner man, according to the riches of his glory, how many know that that's not lacking? That's abundance. That's everything. That's all that heaven has that he's wanting to bless you with and give you, to strengthen you in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How many know that that's more than you can hold? But that you can be filled with all the fullness of God. God is not stingy with anything. He's not stingy with his gifts. He's not stingy with his power. It's just that we're not cooperative. We can ask what we will and it'll be done if we're abiding in him and his words are abiding in us. If we are cooperating with the Holy Spirit, he can do anything. God does not want to withhold anything. He doesn't withhold anything. He has released it to the body of Christ. He's released it to the kingdom of God. And how much of it is working in our life shows how much of the kingdom of God we're cooperating with. Amen. Now, this is supposed to be a real good blessing time, but I can tell we're getting convicted here because we don't feel like things are working in our life. Well, how do you do that? You just simply abide in him. You start abiding in who he is. Allow who he is to become part of you. God doesn't want to withhold. Did you know God wouldn't have a problem at all with trusting you with the power to walk out of here today and heal every sick person you come in contact with? How do I know that? Because Jesus did it. He sat in the house and people would line up and come through the house, and he was present in the house, and he would heal and deliver every person that came through the door. And he didn't even ask them if they believed in him. Why? Because you're going to believe in it. Jesus looked at it like this. You might not believe that I'm the Son of God, but you're getting ready to believe. Because I'm fixing to cast that devil out of you. I'm fixing to heal you of that sickness. And you're going to have to stop and say, there's something here besides a man. Amen. Jesus didn't make people prove that they believed in him before he healed them. There were some that he would say, do you really believe I can do this? He wanted them to open their hearts. They were asking, but he wanted them to embrace what they were about to get. He would ask blind people, what do you want me to do for you? He wanted to see really what they were going to ask for. You know, they could have asked for a better cup to collect funds in. You know, lame man by the pool of Bethesda, Jesus walked up to you and said, do you want to be healed? That seems like a silly question. Somebody been sick for 38 years. If you've never heard Bishop Jakes preach on that, you need to find that message. It'll turn you upside down. As he talked about, for 38 years, the man didn't move. He didn't even try to progress toward the pool. And he goes into how people let little things, disagreements and unforgiveness, bind them for 38 years. He said, you know, it would seem, you know, the man said, I have nobody to put me in the pool when it stirred. But in 38 years, he never even tried to get positioned. I mean, every year he could have moved one person up. You know, he could have got to the place when the water stirred, all he had to do is roll over in it. He didn't need nobody. But for 38 years, he laid there complaining about not having anybody to help him and never even tried to position himself for the miracle. And when Jesus walked by, Jesus looked at him and said, do you want to be healed? A legitimate question. Because the man might have said, I want a better bed. And I want a flat screen TV. I want video games. Because I'm getting bored laying here. You know, I want to make my I want to make my affliction more comfortable. So many people just want to make their affliction more comfortable. You don't need it made more comfortable. You need to get out of that thing. Amen. You need to be delivered from it. You need to break free from it. You don't need just a better couch to lay on in your affliction. You don't need to be more comfortable. You need to be set free from it. Jesus is not stingy. He wants you to have everything that the kingdom has. He wants me to have everything that the kingdom has. Amen. Everybody say, that's right. Thank you. So he wants to fill us according to the riches of his glory. He wants to strengthen us with his might through his spirit in our inner man. How many know that's a lot of strength? Amen. That's a lot of strength. And then he wants to reveal himself to us because he said, I want you to be able to find the height and the depth and the length with all the body of Christ. I want you to search out how big this thing is. I want you to search out how deep it goes, how high it goes, how wide it is. I want you to search this out. And by my spirit, I want to give that to you. I want to give that understanding and that revelation to you. Amen. That's not just to preachers. That's to you. Amen. So that you can find out and to know the love of Christ, which is far exceeding beyond anything that we can imagine. And then Paul ends this prayer in all of this abundance of God's wanting to give to you. He ends this prayer with, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that you can ask or imagine. Now let's jump back to John chapter 15, verse 7. Abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. And then now let's jump back to Ephesians. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. You see how Paul's using everything he can think of to explain the fact that whatever you can ask or think of, God wants to do it bigger. Amen. How many can think pretty big? I can think big. Matter of fact, I think big all the time. Praise God. I started out big. I was 10 pounds, 4 ounces when I was born. So I had big ideas from the time I was born. I don't know what happened. I stalled out at 5'10". My feet kept growing, but the rest of me stalled out at 5'10". I had big ideas. I was going. But I can think big. I got big dreams, big visions. If I try to share vision, the things in my heart with people, most of the time I get this glazed over look. Or else I get, well, who do you think you are? I think that I am a born again, blood washed, spirit filled, blessed child of God that has access to the abundance exceeding abundantly above anything that I could ask or think. That's who I think I am. Amen. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is getting there constantly. You understand what I'm talking about? And don't look at me judgmental. It's not like you just step over in and say, okay, I'm ready. No. You got a whole lot of you to deal with. It's not God, it's you. And it's me. We got a whole lot of us to deal with because God wants to do exceeding abundantly. Above. Amen. I've got big dreams. I got big visions. I might be inching up close to 60, but I ain't done. I still got big dreams. I've always wanted bucket lists. Y'all got a bucket list? I don't have a bucket list because I never know what I'm going to do next. You just never know. And so I don't plan a whole lot of things out, because tomorrow, you never know what's going to happen. Some of y'all would think that this is ridiculous and crazy, but I have always wanted to start right here and start preaching, and I've always wanted to preach myself around the world on every continent, in every continent. I wanted to do that in consecutive, I mean, not flying back and forth. I've wanted to start and just start around the world. Praise God. And some of y'all think that is silly. Well, go get your own dream. I mean, that would be hard. All the time zones and the travel and everything. But I've wanted to see the gospel of Jesus Christ touch lives in every place and every continent around this world. Who knows? God might let me do that one day. I really need this translation thing to start happening if I'm going to do that. Amen. The only problem is I'd have to start over here. I'd have to go west instead of east, because I'd have to chase, you know, time zones to be able to do that. I could do that in 2 days. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I could preach 5 messages before you guys get up. See, the reason I'm saying all this, I'm trying to stretch y'all. I'm trying to get you to get beyond your little world. Amen. If you let the problems that you're hearing and talking, dealing with right now, if you let this presidential election shrink you down to the size of the presidential election, then you're out of the kingdom of God. I live in the kingdom of God. I live in a place where, beyond all of this garbage that's going on and all this mudslinging and all these promises and everything, I live in a kingdom that is operating and being victorious all around the world. Amen. All around the world. It's happening right now. Right now. Everybody's, I've had people say, oh, I would really like to have lived in the day of the book of Acts. Why? You're living in a greater day now. This is a greater day. There is more happening around the world right now than has ever happened before in the kingdom of God. More people are being saved, healed, set free, delivered on every continent right now than has ever been before. And there are tremendous things that are happening. It's just that we got to come in agreement with the kingdom of God. We got to come in agreement with what he said, not what we think. Because he can do so much more than what we can think. Amen. Praise God. Anybody got any big dreams? I kind of lost y'all on my dreams. That's what happens when I share my visions and my dreams with people. It's like, yeah, who are you? I had one guy, I grew this goatee out. Did you know that this was ungodly? I found that out, and that's why I kept wearing it. I had this preacher walk up to me after I grew this out. I had this preacher walk up to me and said, well, you just think you're tough, don't you? I just looked at him and said, pretty much. Just blew that out of the water. He didn't even know what to say. He was like, a year later, he had one. Woo! I started the fad. If we can only grab hold of the mindset of God when it comes to bearing fruit, we would understand God doesn't see you with a couple of little shriveled up apples on your limbs. God sees you with so much fruit on you that you can barely hold it up. He said much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit, but much fruit. Praise God. So what's that mean? That means God wants to invest in you everything He is so that you can bring glory and honor to Him by bearing much fruit. But in every aspect of that, all of that has to get past us. And as I finally agreed and said to God that, oh, God, you know, you're really not the problem, I am. I know that really surprises you. See, we have a mentality of need. It's either need or greed. We're stuck in those two things, need and greed, need and greed, need and greed. We can't seem to get past that to abundant provision. I'm not talking about this prosperity thing we've heard the last several years where, you know, you get a lot of money. Just to have a lot of money. I'm not talking about that. That shouldn't even, He knows the things you have need of. And He'll provide those. Amen. You don't need $1 million home. You couldn't handle $1 million home because of the upkeep. Amen. How many understand that everything you get has to be maintained? The more you get, the more you have to maintain. So you might want to shrink the maintenance down just a little bit so you can be more free to flow. Praise God. Did you know you can live in a nice house without, you could have $5 million and not have to buy a new house? Because if you got a bedroom to sleep in, and you got a kitchen to eat in, and you got, you understand where I'm going here? Yeah. We just stayed in a motel that I doubt if most of you would stay in. Amen. It didn't have air conditioning. It was built in the 1940s. Maybe 20s. I'm not sure. But it was old. And it hadn't been updated. And it was awesome. Yeah. I don't think they changed the bed since the 1920s. But it's all we needed. Why? Because we're just going to be spending a couple minutes there, you know, in between rides. We're going to sleep a little bit and then get back up, get back out there and ride. So we didn't need a lot. It was a little hot when we got back. You know, we'd have to open up the windows and try to get some air flowing through there because it's just, it's like 90 degrees in there. But did you know we can live like that? I know, I'm being facetious. But how much do we actually have to have? Just ask yourself that question. How much do I actually have to have? Because abundance comes to my life, does that mean that I have to gain abundance? Amen. How many understand that God wants to fill us up and drain us out? He wants to flow continually through us. Amen. There's needs out there that need to be met. Sometimes just break your heart. Amen. Sometimes it's just, you don't know what to do. This one little restaurant we went to out there, I knew that this young lady, the waitress, I knew it when she walked up. I never got an opportunity to talk to her, but I knew she was in an abusive relationship. And I wanted so much to just take her aside and say, you don't have to do this. See, God, there are so many needs out there. And a lot of them are right around us. And He wants to abundantly flow through you and me so that people just receive. Amen. Can you imagine just being somewhere and just walking up to somebody, just taking their hand like this and smiling at them, and they think you're just smiling at them, all of a sudden an ailment in their body is healed at that moment. And they're saying, what do you do? You know, it's like, God loves you. You know, that's a gift from Jesus. You say, well, no, that'd be too much. No, it's too much for us because we're either in need or greed. And we just got to get to the place where we're comfortable with the fact that God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we could ask or think. I never even got to the fruit-bearing thing today because I want us just to get hold of that thing that God's not stingy. God doesn't withhold anything. He doesn't want to withhold anything. Praise God. Amen. Can you imagine walking in somewhere and all of a sudden people just start getting delivered from demon powers, you know, all around you? People are on the floor, you know, and you're just standing there smiling. And you say, "Woo! Doesn't that feel better?" See, that's what God wants to do. You say, that can't be true. What happened when Jesus showed up on the shore? Yeah. A legion of demons come running to him because they couldn't ignore him, because they were subservient to him. They had to come and acknowledge the fact that a greater one had just showed up. God wants to abundantly pour who he is in us so that our branches will be producing much fruit. Stand with me if you would. I've been trying to wind down here because I want to go on. Praise God. There's nothing that God can't do. Everybody say that with me. There's nothing that God can't do. And then the Bible goes on to say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if there's nothing God can't do, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that means that everything that God can do can actually be produced through my life. That's awesome. Amen. That's amazing. That's beyond amazing. That's big. How many understand how big that is? Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. What if you woke up in the morning? What if you woke up in the morning and all of a sudden you had all this abundance just show up at your door? What would you do with it? Well, that's what happens when you get in the prayer room with God and you get in touch with him. You get in touch with his presence. You get in him and he abides in you. That's exactly what happens. All this abundance is suddenly available to you because you're cooperating with him. Father.